You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
3 a.m., where we discuss and dissect the supernatural.
What's the scariest thing you've encountered? That's been one of our favorite questions for years. 3 a.m. is the result of asking this question over and over again.
Stories we share are typically sourced from those we know, our listeners, or personal experience, the validity of which can be determined by you, the listener.
While we might not have all the answers, we find the culture and lore surrounding paranormal events and unnatural occurrences fascinating.
We hope you enjoy.
We hope you enjoy.
We hope you enjoy.
We're feeling gas.
What's up, guys? I hope y'all are feeling good out there. Thank you for joining us for another week of 3 a.m. We hope your week is going well. We hope your weekend's going great. My name is Charlie.
My name is DJ.
And my name is Sean.
We make jokes. We tell scary stories. We get a little silly. We get a little scary. What's good with you two?
Dude, all the things are good. Have either of you heard of the curse of Oak Island?
Oak Island.
Is there treasure?
There might be treasure.
I know this one.
So, both of you might already know, our listeners might. I have a girlfriend now, and she put me onto this curse.
Don't just brush over. Congrats.
My dogs.
So she was apparently watching an alien documentary, made her so much hotter to me. I was like, damn.
I'll show you an unidentified flying object.
I'm going to get abducted tonight, girl. Out of my bean, girl.
Open up that portal, girl.
About to drain you of blood.
Hey.
Crop circle in your ass.
Oh my gosh, y'all are wilding. Basically, there's some sort of connection between aliens and Oak Island, but
Sean's about Area 51. Okay, I'm sorry.
Been going down this rabbit hole about Oak Island for the last like 3 or 4 days now.
I had no idea it was related at all to aliens.
Bro, there's so much that I didn't know it was related to. So like, bro, I'm pulling up my notes right now, bro. There's so much to it. So basically, did you know there's also a legend around Oak Island that obviously we know about the treasure and
not all of us. So if you want to explain that.
Okay.
Part.
So
where is it located? I'm sorry.
It's in like Canada, Nova Scotia, and this tiny little island off the coast of Nova Scotia. This is like some teenage kid in 200 years ago, found like this kind of dip in the earth that looked like it had been filled in almost. And so he's like, oh, this is interesting. Started digging.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Bro.
So he just started digging. He's like, this is interesting. He got like two of his friends to come and help dig with him. And
bro, they're bored out there.
Dude, it's Nova Scotia. What else you going to do
over here?
They started finding stuff that wasn't supposed to be there. Like, for example, they would find coconut husks in Nova Scotia buried in this ground.
Like, what the hell is this?
They're like, what is this? They had to have someone come and identify it. They brought their Hawaiian friend over.
Yeah, coconut.
But they were only able to get like 30 feet down. And then they left. They filled it in again just so, like, so that no one else would like come across their discovery. And I would be like, oh, let's start digging here. 9 years later, though, they were finally able to come back with like some sponsorship, and they kept digging. And as they dug further, they would find more random things that just shouldn't be there. Like, for example, they would find more coconut husks, wood that wasn't like local there. Mm-hmm. Then they found like this platform of just logs that had been built into the ground. And they're like, oh, interesting. So they pulled that up and kept digging. And eventually they found a tablet that was in this hole, and it was in some other language, and it wasn't able to be like translated for years after. But when they finally translated it, it said 40 feet below are 2 million pounds buried. So this tablet
treasure
that they just found, and they kept trying to dig further and further, but eventually they noticed this well, they noticed it was pretty obvious, like booby traps. Like apparently whoever put this hole here had dug offshoot holes. And this island is probably like a football field size. But these offshoot like holes that would go over to the edge of the island, and on high tide, it would fill the hole in with water.
So like there's a shaft right here, DJ. And then there's like two other shafts. So if you dig down, all of a sudden it would just be like, and like kill you.
Yeah.
Like they made these crazy ass booby traps.
Yeah. No. And they're like, obviously someone built this and someone didn't want anything to be found. And the legend surrounding it is that seven people will die in search of the treasure. So far,
that
six
sounds
have
familiar.
Died.
That sounds familiar.
Six have died?
Six have died.
So dude, who's if it we go be? Right now, we'll be the seventh and we'll find it.
I'm just thinking like, who do we not like that we can like bring in under guise of like trying to
wait, so friends? The seven have to die and then the eighth will get it?
Yes. So the seventh person to die and then we'll be able to discover the treasure.
You know, Kevin might be, might be a great kid. No, I'm just kidding.
Kevin will be down to ride.
Bro, can you look up also in the building? Folks, Kalima, young Kalima, pull that
work.
Shit up, bro.
Pull up Oak Island.
Oak Island
treasure.
Booby trap diagram.
Oh, yeah. So like
Oak Island shaft.
Shafts of Oak Island.
The thing that started like getting wild, though, was what is rumored to be buried. So like.
It said 200 pounds?
200 2 million pounds? Pounds.
2 million pounds?
Yeah.
Like. British pounds?
I don't know.
Or pounds of something.
And this is the rough translation, I assume, is 2 million pounds buried. But yeah, here's like essentially the
there's the message.
The hole as it is.
Can't you just block off the shaft?
I'm sure you could. Like if at one point, once they got far enough down to the oak chest, that was filled with water and they sent in like a water drone and they found like artifacts like a shoe, like a old leather shoe. And they found these chests and hand, like they found these just wild things. And they've gotten to like this underground stream here as well.
What the heck?
But there's so many rumors as to what it could be. Like, for example, one of the first rumors was that it was Captain Kidd's treasure because he had formerly buried treasure near like Long Island. And so this rumor kind of started that he had said something like he'd buried his treasure where hell couldn't find it or something like that. And so people were like,
Canada,
bro. But then they're like, okay, this is a little too like intricate for just this pirate to come up and just have built all of this. So a couple of other things are allegedly it could be Marie Antoinette's riches before they were like taken over and like killed. She like willed it all away. Also, the lost manuscript of Shakespeare has been rumored to be down there.
Ooh.
But one of the wildest ones is the Knights Templar treasure. So there's evidence.
Do they have Ark of the Covenant?
Possibly? Like Ark of the Covenant, like Ooh. The Holy Grail, like the National Treasure.
Oh, shit.
So like.
Nicholas.
Spear of Destiny.
Bro.
Damn.
Nicholas needs to get on this.
Allegedly, there's evidence that the Templar treasure on the island is because their documents placing the Knights Templar in the New World before even Christopher Columbus, and that they had commissioned Scottish builders to come with them. Like they had just picked them up along the way after they'd been kind of like annexed from the Catholic Church. So they're all like,
come with us, laddie.
Just come with us. But like people are like, what could this be? They probably just dug this hole to bury the treasure so no one could ever find it. So there's a whole rabbit hole here, bro. That's like how far I am right now.
And to this day?
To this day, no one has found the treasure yet.
It's crazy that the government, it seems like places like this, the government would do something to stop people from going because it's so dangerous.
Well, at this point, there's only one person who lives on the island legally, and it's illegal for people to go now because he like purchased the island, something like that. But even
if you're purchasing islands, you don't need treasure. that's greedy.
Yeah. Dude, yeah.
Share.
I mean, I imagine that the real estate there in Nova Scotia is probably not as expensive as, I don't know.
Nova Scotia is beautiful, man.
It is. Oh, I would definitely love to like go there and just hike around for a while. But even like among the people who went looking for this treasure was former U.S. President
Teddy Roosevelt.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Damn it. Wait, is that the same?
No, he was like...
Delano?
Yeah, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, bro. Our history, dog.
Your history. Don't indoctrinate me and young Kalima.
Delano. Okay. Delano Roosevelt. That's my bad. That's my bad.
He's the fool who... I thought it was...
Never heard of him. Who is that? Why is he significant?
He was the...
Are you being for real?
No, I'm dead ass.
Whoa.
He was the New Deal president.
Who was the one...
World War II.
Oh, so he was the president.
Yeah.
Yeah. Franklin D.
Franklin D. Yeah.
Didn't you just ask... Is that Franklin D?
He said Theodore.
Yeah. Oh. Who's the one who was like the world traveler and who like set aside...
Theodore.
Oh, okay.
Like he was the one who allegedly went and looked for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And like went down to like the Brazilian rainforest and stuff like
that. He traveled like the world on adventure, bro.
Yeah. But
yeah, he's also homies with Ben Stiller.
Dude, yeah. They like hang out at a museum every once in a while.
Owen Wilson.
It's like a nerd ass. Bro, that's crazy. You can't just leave us on a
There has right to there. Be one more person to die. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, small price to play.
I think so. But like it's wild too because they found like Templar coins on the island, not in the hole, but like
breadcrumbs, dude.
Breadcrumbs.
One life for 200 pounds?
Two million pounds.
What if it's like a troll though? It's like 2 million pounds of what? It's like maybe that was like their outhouse or something.
It's like shit. It's like friendship.
Yeah.
Hard like the real work. Treasure is that we got closer together.
Dude, I would just start hitting the walls and cave that shit up on me. I want death.
Open that shaft.
Let the water in.
Release the river.
I'd be pissed, bro.
Side note, Google Maps literally lists it as the money pit.
Yeah, that's what it's called, the money pit.
Money bag.
Bro, if Google know,
it must be real, dude.
The stone triangle? Okay, yeah, zoom out. I want to see what it is.
It's that tiny little island.
Where we just were, go back in a little bit. If you just showed me that, I couldn't tell you where in the world that was. If
that's there were Indonesia. No names. Bro,
that's Tonga.
No, that's Japan right there.
Dude, Japan with the Nova Scotia and New Brunswick.
That's Japan before the bombs right there.
One of my favorite hobbies is, or like pastimes, when I'm hella bored on my phone, I just scroll through Google Maps and go to like super remote places. Like
just
I'll go to like the most northern part of Alaska and you can see a city or a town or a landmark and you click on it and pictures come up. Whoa. Like people have traveled here. It's like the most northernmost tip of the United States. Just like crazy place. Like
that's why? Where they film 30 Days a Night, bro.
Try to imagine living there.
That's a good one.
I like that one.
I haven't seen that for years. We should rewatch that.
So good.
Dude, yeah. But anyways, made me want to go treasure hunting.
Well, you have Sean won at work a very nice metal detector.
Yeah, we got to start using that.
I bet you they haven't used that yet.
Let's legit use it in the backyard.
Yeah.
Because this is all like weird stuff.
I don't want to find like Indian burial grounds in our backyard. Let's go someone else's backyard and find that shit.
I'm down.
That's not a thing. All of the bones for the Indians are ground up so people could become skinwalkers.
True.
Skinny boys. You're right.
That's crazy. That's a fun way to start the pod.
Yeah, I know. It was kind of like the other day and you like kind of gave us a rundown of like a topic. That's kind of what I was going for.
Cool, dude. I love it.
But give me the loot.
Yeah.
Dude. And now let's go treasure hunting.
Yeah. Thanks, Shawnee boy.
I got you. We're shooting for a short episode, so let's roll.
Yeah, guys. It's going to be a short one, but a good one.
And now we're rolling our 20-sided die to determine who gets to tell their stories last and first.
And middle.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever had a relationship that you're proud of? Proud of because you put in the work and the other person put in the work as well. Didn't have to be perfect, but effort was made, honest effort. I think it's definitely more rare to have those types of relationships. The good thing is with therapy, at least in my experience, that's something I've been able to find. Somebody who invests in me, especially when I invest in myself. And we'd love for you to experience something similar. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, suited to your schedule. Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Go ahead and visit betterhelp.com/3am today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/3AM.
Hey, podcast listeners, I'm Paul Brandis introducing my podcast, Countdown to Dallas. It's a fascinating, in-depth look at the seemingly unconnected events that led to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's based on my book of the same title. In that book and in this podcast, I go all the way back to 1939 when Lee Harvey Oswald was born into a troubled and dysfunctional family. I'll follow his transient and often violent teenage years and young adulthood, painting a fuller picture of the man who would later become Kennedy's killer. I also take a look at events unfolding in that era like Cuba and Vietnam. And I'll unpack the conspiracy theories, too, not one of which has ever been conclusively proven. Subscribe to Countdown to Dallas at evergreenpodcasts.com or your favorite listening app, October 31st.
And the roll.
Nine, seven, six.
So the order is Charlie. DJ, Sean.
Yee.
Let's go. All right, boys. For my story, we are going back to the distant land of 1990s. So get out your Tamagotchis.
Hey. Your what else?
Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Pokemon cards.
Pogs. Did you guys have Pogs?
Dude, bro, I have Pogs.
Hefty collection
bro, my
of
mom gave me a stack of Pogs for this last Christmas. Should we bring it back?
That's dope, bro.
That's fly. Dude, bro, you know what else is ill from the 90s? Did you guys get into yo-yos?
Hell
dude,
yeah.
I did have a yo-yo.
X-Brains, Dunkins.
Dunkins, dude.
Yeah.
My girlfriend had never seen like good yo-yo tricks. Somehow we landed like on a related YouTube video with
sit down,
like,
ho. World,
yeah, like sit your ass down. About I'm to show you how to walk dogs. The dog, dude. Eddie Spaghetti and this shit.
The cradle.
Around the world. You want to travel?
Yeah.
Yo-yos. What else? Quintessential 90s items. You got any, Kalima?
Dude, CD players, anti-skip on them.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember those spinny ring rings?
Oh, with like you slap yeah. it and then you spin the ring and yeah. like the ring's on the big ring.
Are spinning. Wait, is it on this like... Ring? Around like the magnet?
No,
thing?
That's like the dentist's office, dude.
That thing was sick.
That thing's also lit. Is this just the Hawaii thing?
I was gonna say, I don't know if I've seen that before. Spinny ring.
This
on
is basically 90s fidget spinners, bro.
Well, yeah, dude. While he's looking that up, I'm sorry, not 90s, but dude, the most 2000s thing I can think of that I did was freshman year of high school. I took my dad's portable laptop to school, and during my free period, I watched 300. While eating munchies.
DJ just hit just over there out. Saying, what is your profession?
And I remember I had two of my homies sitting right next to me watching it off the shitty speaker. Dude, quintessential 2000s.
That's crazy, it's fun to bro. Look
back. What is this?
I think I've
Do
seen
Do you remember that.
That?
I've never seen this
Yeah,
before.
You like, you spin them and it's like.
It like rattles and keeps spinning. And if you spin the big ring, it keeps going forever as long as you keep moving it.
That shit is like a pioneer game, dog. And we were playing that in the 90s.
Dude, this I didn't music, know. Bro.
I didn't know there was an actual like.
Wait, can you turn down the music? Or I can mute it later in post.
Spin works.
I didn't know there was actual. Like competitions, but I'm not
well,
surprised.
Where there's either. Asians, there's competitions with you.
They'll turn like, it into a sport.
Yeah. What is he competing to do? Like, just keep them spinning?
Compete Badass against tricks. Yourself, dude.
Compete against yourself. Boys, growing up, who was like the hangout spot?
Who was the hangout spot?
I guess I'll just
Who's
ask
house?
DJ. Yeah.
Dude, it was my house.
My classmates. And their classmates. For me, the hangout spot, what age range?
I don't like 12.
12? My house.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dude.
I had a game room.
Oh.
N64, PlayStation.
You also had privilege that you should check.
had like the inflatable chairs.
Ooh.
Game of Boys.
Little beanbag chairs.
Halo 3, Mountain Dew.
Pizza Hut.
1 a.m.
Dude.
On Legendary.
Doritos.
Yeah, dude. The life.
Dope. Our story is late 90s, early 2000s. They wanted to remain anonymous, so I'm just going to call them John and Josh. Two brothers. They're like 12, 14. And they live in Illinois. And their house has a basement that has been converted or changed into a rumpus room. Rumpus room.
Rumpus?
Rumpus room.
What's that?
What the?
A rumpus room. Do you want to show?
The Hogwarts house?
Yeah. Gryffindor. Oh, no, I have it in the pictures. This is like a...
What the hell?
Basically, the rumpus room is just like...
That grandma's terrifying.
This is what I imagine, though. It's like a den, you know, where a TV is, all your board games, cards, stuff like that. Maybe like a ping pong table down there. Yeah. It's called a rumpus room. I had never heard that term.
Me neither.
Until I had really wealthy white friends. And they had a rumpus room.
We shall go down to the rumpus.
But you can go back. So... Their ideal night consisted of a movie rental from Blockbuster, a slice of pizza, some cold soda, and video games down in the rumpus room.
Oof.
So they said, you know, epic summer nights were like, during the school year, they had to sleep up in their rooms. But during the summer, they could go sleep down in the rumpus room. They'd invite the neighborhood kids, and it was just a blast. Like, their house was the spot. It was when John... was becoming 7th to 8th grade. He said he doesn't know why or how, but the overall feeling and mood in the rumpus room that summer changed. He said the first time they noticed it, he had gone asleep. So John and Josh, both sleeping down there, and one of their friends, I'll just say Kyle, from the neighborhood. They're watching a movie late night. They all fall asleep. And John has a terrifying dream. He wakes up and he's paralyzed. And I should explain, this room is basically a square in the basement. There's a door, you know, there's a couch, TV, little coffee table, rug. They've moved the coffee table, sleeping bags on the ground. Behind them in the back, there's the doorway. If you open that doorway, there's like a small landing and then the stairs going up, right? So the back door. He said where he's positioned, he's lying on the bed or lying on the ground, and he wakes up and his body's paralyzed. And he gets a horrible feeling of despair. And he gets the feeling that there's something at the bottom landing. But he can't look, it's behind him. And so he's sitting there, he's like moaning, trying to move. And finally breaks free, sits up and looks back. The door is ajar, and it's just pitch black on the landing. So he does everything he can. He doesn't want to wake up his brother. His brother would like punch him or something. And eventually falls back to sleep. Next morning, you know, they like get breakfast. They make their Eggos and stuff. And he's like, hey, Josh was like, hey, were you okay last night? And he goes, no, John is like, I had a terrible dream. And their friend Kyle's like, well, what was it? And he tells him his experience. And as he's talking, Josh, the older brother, I've probably mixed his name up, but whatever. The older brother goes quiet. And he goes, I had a similar dream last night. He said around somewhere in the middle of the night, he woke up. He was unable to move. And he felt like there was something at the door as well. And when he was lying there, he's trying to get himself out. He said he looked up, and on the ceiling of the basement, there was a man lying on the roof above him.
Like on the ceiling?
Above him.
Fuck, bro.
Super tall, thin man. Couldn't make out the face. It was all dark. Younger brother's like, shut up, dude. There's no, shut up. You're just trying to scare me. And his little brother's like, I swear that's what I saw. Kyle's like, I don't want to hang out anymore. I don't want to go down there. And they said that was the first experience. Couple weeks go by, nothing else happens. They're playing. They've forgotten about the incident. They feel good back down there. And their dad was one of those dads who was like a mad stickler. Like, don't touch the AC. Don't leave the lights on. You know what I mean? Don't, you know. So after coming upstairs one night, their mom says, hey, you left the light on downstairs. And Josh says, no, I didn't. She said, yeah, you did. Pulls him to the kitchen and points down the stairs. In the landing, the door is cracked to the basement and the lights are on. And he thinks it must have been John. So he's pissed. He goes down there, reaches in and flicks the lights off, goes upstairs.
He doesn't look. He just reaches in and flicks it off.
Yeah. Runs upstairs. And you all know that feeling. And he said this is like something he hated doing every night when they had to come upstairs. Because like the way it was is on the landing, right inside the landing is the light switch. So you'd hit that and you'd basically be in the dark stairwell of the basement and you had to sprint for your life upstairs. So it was like oftentimes the younger brother had to do it because the older brother was like, hell no. So they made sure to never leave that light on if they ever came upstairs. But then every other night, their mom would be like, you guys left the lights on again. No, we didn't. We double checked this time. Yes, you did. Come here. Look down the stairs. What do you see? The lights are on.
Now go and now, turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah, and then she would leave the room and turn the lights off in the kitchen. Parenting. You little shit. Run fast. But this became, they had no idea what was going on. To the point where both of them were saying, all right, when we leave, we turn them off together and we walk upstairs. So a week later, near the end of the summer, it happens again. The light is on in the basement. The older brother says, I'll stand here in the kitchen. You go turn it off. And the younger brother slowly walks down the stairs. And keep in mind, they had 100% made sure they had turned off the light. So the younger brother takes step by step, getting slowly down to the landing. He takes a deep breath and reaches in to turn off the light. And instead of a light switch, his hand brushes another hand.
Bro.
And he screams and runs up the stairs.
Rightfully so.
Nothing else happens. Nothing comes. They said they never experienced anything else again. And to this day, him and his brother have to like, it's become foggy now, but they both swear they experienced what they experienced down in that basement.
I don't like that.
No.
Just, you know, grazing the hand of some demon down there.
And that feeling of turning off the light and running away. I was like, when I was reading that, I was like, dude.
I've been there.
Did I? No. Yeah. Yeah. I remember telling my brothers to go and turn off the light. Straight up. That story was way too relevant. And I still get the feeling sometimes coming upstairs.
Getting chased.
Yeah, something behind me. Coming out of Kevin's basement when we were recording there. I feel
That sucked, dude. Yeah.
I feel it all the time.
Hell yeah. But anyway, shout out John, Josh. Thank you for the story. Even though it was short, it hit a deep.
That was a spooky gang. Tale.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Cool. Well, guys, awesome. That's me tonight. Sorry if it's short.
No. We said this is going to be a short episode.
Who's next? DJ?
DJ. All right. My story tonight comes from a dear friend of the podcast by the name of Mac.
Ooh, okay.
So Mac hit me up a few weeks ago and
Mac. Hey, yo. Shout out, Mac. Shout out Central Valley 559.
He says, dude, I have a story for you. And I said, please, I want to hear it. We didn't talk until last night. So we both have been waiting him to tell it, me to hear it for a few weeks. And last night I hit him up. I'm laying in bed. I've been so busy the past few weeks, everything leading up to episode 100. I already had stories planned out and then my trip and now I'm back and it's catching up and friends getting married this week and families moving up to Utah. So many things happening. And I was like, dude, this is like, I swear the only like time I can call you. I'm laying in bed. Lights are off. It's near pitch black in my bedroom. And he was like, all right, this happened a month ago.
To him.
So he says, my dad was in Costco. And he's walking through, getting a few things, get throwing it in the cart, some samples, living the life, you know? When he hears behind him a voice, is that Rod? Turns around, does not recognize this man, but plays it off cool.
Rod's actually his name?
Yeah, Rod's actually his name.
Okay.
Doesn't recognize him. He's like racking his brain in the few seconds that he has to like close the distance to this man. And instead of saying, how do I know you? He just plays along with it. He says, hey, how you doing, man? They start chatting it up in Costco. And Mac's dad says, well, what's been going on? What's happened since I last saw you? And
pretty open-ended. Nice.
Yeah, pretty open-ended.
Because he's like, who the,
yeah, who the hell are you? And this dude who we'll call Bruce. Bruce responds, well, do you have a minute? And I guess Rod feeling a little bad maybe because he doesn't remember who this guy is and maybe wants more information through what he's about to say for something to click maybe, you know. I says, yeah, sure, what's up? And Bruce begins to tell an insane story in the middle of Costco. So they're both standing there with their carts. And Bruce says, well, I was living alone. I was working full time. And I reconnected with an old friend. From the details that Mac gave, it sounded like it could have been an old friend from like high school or something. Mm-hmm. Not even really a friend. This person was, I think, hot and popular, and they were just like acquaintances, but they connected later in life, and she had three kids, and she was single, and they started hooking up, meeting each other, and she started staying at his place more and having him watch the kids. And then she moved in. So Bruce starts watching the kids more and more. Comes home from work, and his favorite routine was to crack open a can of Pepsi, sit on his, I guess his recliner, just watch TV.
Dude, that's life, baby. Meanwhile, nothing's clicking with Rod.
Oh
my gosh.
Still. I mean, this story is totally separate from
whatever
Bruce's relationship with Rod, or you know,
yeah.
It's like, yeah. So I come home and I open a can of pop, and I watch my shows, I watch a movie, and I just zone out on the TV. And over time, this girl that I'm seeing starts wiling out. You know, she has some time to leave the house once I'm home and I can watch the kids. She goes out with friends. And it starts happening more often. And she's gone later into the night. Sometimes she drops the kids off at other friends' house so I can just be by myself, which I appreciated. But one night, I woke up on the couch, which I never do. I always finish my show, get ready for bed, and sleep in my bed. I never fall asleep on the couch. But I wake up and it's late. It's 2 a.m. And I wake up to her stumbling in. She's clearly just walking in. She's all dressed up, looking nice. I'm confused because I thought she had taken the kids elsewhere, but the kids were home. So I just got upset basically. Or I got a little frustrated at the fact, you know, why did you leave the kids here with me? Plus, I wasn't up watching them. Everything ended up okay. But this started happening more often where he would fall asleep on the couch. And while asleep, I guess there were a couple times where he had these terrifying dreams that seemed just so real. This happens where he's sleeping later and later, and he's like, something's happening. So he goes and he sees a doctor, a checkup to see, you know, what's causing him to be tired or knock out when, you know, nothing in his lifestyle necessarily changed, diet, all of that. Doctor doesn't find anything. So what do you do? He doesn't really change much. Just continues, comes home, cracks open a Pepsi, turns on the TV, plops down on the couch, starts watching his show. His eyes get heavy, and he's fighting against it. And finally, they close. Bruce wakes up. It's pitch black. He can't see anything. His eyes are open, but there's nothing out there. Then he realizes it is freezing cold. And he realizes it's freezing cold because he has no clothes on. He's thinking, why do I not have clothes on? Immediately after, he realizes that his body is not on the couch. He's on something cold. And it feels, it's metal underneath him, like a metal table or bed. And he starts feeling around in this pitch black, and his hand moves at 90 degrees, and the metal goes up around him. And then he feels above metal. He's in a box, a steel case, and he's cognitive, fully cognitive. Awake now. He says, this is not a dream.
And he's naked.
And he's naked. He said, there's one thing on his body. It's strange.
Is it his toe?
He reaches down and it's a string around his toe. His eyes start adjusting a little more. And there's a tiny bit of light, ambient light from a little crack. And it illuminates. What he now sees are instructions on how to get out of this metal box. He's reading it and squinting his eyes, trying to follow it in the darkness. And he gets out of this metal box. It's a room.
Lined looks with like other a
lab. Boxes. It's lined with other metal boxes. Bruce is in a morgue. He gets out butt-ass naked. And there's a door in the room. He's stumbling. He walks towards it. He opens it. And there's somebody dressed in scrubs, which he assumes is a worker. The worker is looking at him, so confused. And Bruce faints. The details in between when he faints and when he's at the doctor next for the second time, there are no details. Matt couldn't give me anything in between. But he's at the doctor for the second time talking about the incident that happened with him waking up in the morgue. What had happened is Bruce had been drugged by the girl that he was seeing. And whatever happened led him to overdosing. I guess at some point was pronounced dead. Maybe like a coma. But was never really dead and woke up inside the morgue. I assume the woman was arrested, but Bruce was standing there in Costco telling Mac's dad about this situation. And Mac's dad is hearing this and still nothing clicks with how they met. Bruce finishes his story and Mac's father walks away.
It's like, want a hot dog? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, anyway,
a nice Polish.
How do I know you again? Yeah.
We'll see you later. But that's the morgue story. Bruce's morgue.
Dude. Oh,
that's terrifying.
Talk about the weirdest interaction. Like, how do you, if you're Mac's dad, he's just like, exactly. Hey, I got to take today off. I'm going to be in my room contemplating life.
Yeah. Yo, I didn't know that they had instructions on how to get out of like those boxes.
I'd imagine maybe it's for a worker. Like, could be. In case you like, I don't know, climb in there.
Well, you know, like in old time, the whole term of Saved by the Bell was when they would like bury people. They had like a string coming up from the coffin to like a bell at the top.
Yeah.
So like it wasn't necessarily instructions, but like a way for them to let people know they're alive.
Because they like pulled up too many coffins and they opened it up and there was like mad scratch marks. And they're like,
That person probably wasn't dead.
Yeah. I had no idea. Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. But I didn't know their instructions in a morgue, bro. That's wild. Well,
first batshit crazy last week and now Saved by the Bell.
Hey, yo.
You learn something new every episode.
Hey. You're welcome. Bro, that's freaking nuts.
That's me tonight. That's Mac. Shout out. Thank you.
Shout out.
Shout out, Mackie boy.
Oh, them near-death experience. Well, technically death experiences. He didn't see anything in between, did he?
He didn't see anything in between?
I don't know, like afterlife type stuff.
Oh, I'm not sure. No details. That's all I could get. But yeah, waking up naked in a metal box, dude, that would be...
I'd be pissed.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. That wouldn't be fun. It's not fun at all. Also, I don't know how you recover from that conversation of someone you don't even know.
You have a minute?
Be like,
no.
No minute.
That's wild, man.
That's crazy.
Like us at the end of every story. Wow.
That's weird. That's scary.
Anyway.
This conversation is scary. But, oh, man. Gosh.
Take us home, Shawnee boy.
All right. I'm going to finish us off tonight. I also have a listener-submitted story tonight.
Heck yeah.
And listener's name is Cal. He's from Utah.
Yeah.
And he's been listening for a minute. So he submitted this story, and it happened a few years ago. I think it's 2014-ish, okay. So pretty recent here. And he said at the time he was living with his ex, and his ex had kind of this thing where she would have night terrors. This is the best description he could have for it. So she would have these night terrors and like wake him up frantically in the middle of the night, being like, Cal, wake up, wake up.
Oh.
And the interesting thing, though, is every time that he woke up and, like, asked her what's going on, she would either instantly go back to sleep or stare at him, not creepily, but just, like, stare at him in a way that you're, like, they're definitely, like, sleepwalking or, like, that kind of situation, right? And he said it happened a few times a week for about a month, and then it kind of stopped for a while. And he said the weird thing is four things, like, one, she never responded to me when he responded, like, what's going on? Two, she never had any sleeping issues before that. Three, she never remembered any instance of waking up. And four, she claimed that she didn't have any bad dreams the night she'd wake up on. So all of this kind of together, like, she's not aware of anything going on. So he kind of just shook it off. And after the month of this happening, kind of suddenly stopped for a while until about 2 months later. After her last episode or night terror, he woke up to her freaking out again. But this time it was different than the previous times. She was much more frantic and literally shaking him, which she'd never actually done. So there was no like physical like interaction in these times where she was telling him to wake up. So she's freaking out, shaking him. And on top of that, he just felt it was different, but still didn't know what was going on. So he sat straight up in his bed, and he's like, what? What's going on? To which she actually responded this time, which normally she wouldn't. And her response was, he's here. So after she said that, he instantly felt and visually could see the room getting darker. And he said they had like a little blue nightlight in the room that kind of made it so that you could pretty much see everything in the room at like in the middle of the night.
Gross.
But right after that, like after she said that, and on top of the feeling of something dark being in the room, he slowly started turning his head around the room and it was like everything was in slow motion. And as he did that, he kind of tried to focus closer to the front of the foot of his bed, and he sees like a figure standing there, completely pitch black at the foot of the bed. And all he could see was pure darkness, a darker, like, darkness than the rest of the room. And he instantly knew that someone was standing at the foot of the bed. And this someone was not a good person or entity. And he said, surprisingly, this fight or flight, like the fight mode came into him instead. And the only thing he can think of to do is to, like, arm to the square, command it to go away. Just like commanding whatever entity it is to get out of their room. And he said once he had done that, surprisingly, it instantly left. And he said he felt pretty badass about it, actually. So I can imagine me being like that, be like, okay, yeah, suck it.
No, no, no.
Demon Slayer.
Don't get cocky.
And within seconds, the room was kind of bright as normal again. So that kind of blue light from their like nightlight had come back up and it returned to normal. He didn't know how, but he was no longer scared. He didn't feel that feeling of fear anymore. And if it was just that, that would still be terrifying.
Oh my gosh.
But the next morning was a bright summer, sunny Saturday. And they both woke up. He rolled over to talk to her and asked if she remembered anything about last night.
Hey, so.
So, like, do you remember? Do you have any, like.
Do you remember the devil being here?
Hey, babe.
Come on in.
You're so pretty.
But also, do you remember what happened last night? But again, she said no. She had no recollection, no bad dream, nothing. And not wanting to freak her out about what actually happened, he's like, oh, yeah, you just had another night terror that woke me up and left it at that. So a little while later, he gets up and he goes to the bathroom down the hall. And as he like is getting ready to go to the gym, he hears her scream from the bedroom. So he runs back to the room to see her standing by the window in their bedroom. That she had just opened the blinds, and on the window, there was a sticky note that said, I'm still here. Now, she had still didn't remember anything about what happened last night, but she was almost dry heaving. She was so freaked out. And he, on the other hand, he just got like really mad chills because he was awake and attentive for the whole entire previous night and what had happened. Now, not knowing what to do, but also wondering why she was freaking out, he eventually calmed her down and then asked her why the sticky note freaked her out so much, to which she told him about an experience she had when she was 16.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently, she had the same dream multiple times about someone who was following her throughout life, but it was a dark entity of sorts. She said in the dream, no matter what she did to avoid him, he would always show up at random places in her life, in her dream, and just laugh. And he would say, I'm still here. And she just could never escape him. The dream happened a few times in a row. And on the last day she woke up, still freaked out. And on her nightstand was a note that said, I'm always here. To which she freaked out, obviously. But again, she was 16, her dad there, and had her dad there and slept in her parents' room for a while. But nothing happened until that experience they had together. Nothing had happened since she was 16. Hmm. And that's why she was freaked out despite not ever remembering anything about what had happened the night or previous nights before. And to this day, neither of them know who or what the person was. And it's his ex. So he says, luckily, we're no longer together, so I don't have to deal with it anymore.
Savage!
But that's basically Cal's story about his experience that he had while living with his ex and whatever entity was haunting her.
Do they want to remain anonymous?
He didn't request to remain anonymous. I just gave his first name here, though.
Cal.
The Cal.
Dope. Hell yeah. Thank you, Cal, for sending that in. Watch, it's just like her grandpa or something, like trying to like be like watch over her or something.
Yeah, her
something
dead grandpa. Sweet.
Yeah,
I'm always here for you. She's like, fuck.
She's like, can you actually be dead?
That's so funny.
Damn.
Dude. Bro, I feel like you should mention that. Like, if you're going into relationships, you'd be like, also, just let you know, like, I'm STD free, but
I do have
a content, may not be followed by an entity who stalks my ass.
He's dude, like, yeah, I feel like, because you're going to have to live with that. You're going to have to put up with that.
Yeah. He's like, I'll take the chlamydia. And
yeah. Give me the clap. Dude, when she explains that story, it's like, you know, he's always here. He's like, well, I'm not going to be, so... Yeah. We're no longer a thing.
I told a story. Yeah.
You can leave now.
Yeah. I told a story a while ago, though, where the guy actually came clean. It's like, I actually have some night terrors and stuff like that. And the girl was like, chill with it. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It was a month or so ago, I feel like. But that should be the standard.
Where it's like, you just open honesty? Yeah, it should be.
Including paranormal in your relationship
bio
forecasting.
Forecasting, yeah.
Actually, one of the slides on Tinder is like your haunted history or something. If you have any demons or you've ever played with any Ouija boards. First day of the mission in the MTC, I go to sleep. It's a 4-man room in the MTC, Missionary Training Center, where missionaries go to prepare to go on their 2-year-long LDS missions.
We explain every time.
Yeah, but we have new listeners. Dude, 23,000 downloads this month. It's more than last month, bro. There's new peoples. So me and my companion, we've met like an hour ago. He's this huge dude from like Southern Utah. He had come from a strongman competition.
Oh.
That's to show you.
He's a big dude.
He's huge. Anyway, 4-man room. So I'm on the opposite side of the room in a bunk bed. He's like way over there in a bunk bed. Go to sleep. And I wake up to a huge crash and grunting and like growling almost. And I open my eyes and I see him and he is lunged out of his bed, prone like in a fighting stance. And he's just like, and it's just dark in the room. And I'm like in the other side of the room. Like,
singing hymns.
Yeah. Just Heavenly Father. Please keep me here. And he's just like, climbs back into bed and goes to sleep. Next morning, I wake up and I look over and his bed is covered in blood because he had like scrapes on his arm from the strongman competition. He was lifting up the like
the stone. Like giant stones. Yeah.
So he just, all those had opened up and just bled all over his white sheets. And he was like, oh, what the heck? And I was like, so, do you remember anything from last night? And he's like, oh, did I have night terrors? And I was like, yes. And he's like, oh, I should have told you. I'm sorry. For a second, dude, I thought I was going to fight for my life.
Dude, yeah, freaking A. Maybe. Just ready to pounce on somebody.
Dude, I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck?
Juggernaut, dude.
It was all downhill from there. Anyway. All
downhill from there. That's wild, bro.
Crazy story.
Yeah, no, that one was a crazy one. Like, the part that got me, like, when I got chills was, like, he's here.
Oh, no, I'd be like, all right, we're done.
I'm like, nope, I'm out, bro.
Yeah. Not.
Also, the sticky note's kind of creepy. I'm still here, that whole thing.
Dude, like, what demon just uses sticky notes?
It's just trolling, bro. Yeah. That's at that point, it's just trolling. Just wants to know.
She wanted out of the relationship. She pretended. She wrote that herself, put it on the wall. I'm sorry to tell you, wow. Cal. That's what happened.
Damn. But at least you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Easy answer is stop buying sticky notes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just like your flesh.
Modern problems call for modern solutions.
Big brain.
Fun episode. All listener submission. Those are the best.
We're not done.
I got one more.
Y'all thought we were done.
Boy. So this story is going straight to our Patreon, though. So if you're not a patron, head to a link in our bio.
Right.
You can go to patreon.com.
Yeah.
And you can listen to not only this story,
but it's lit.
Our entire backlog of Patreon stories. So whoever submitted this story says, I have had the most interesting experience of knowing two persons intimately who claim to have seen. Welcome back. That was a wild story.
Wild couple of stories.
It
got real hairy there for a minute.
You guys missed out on quite a bit.
Real big.
Dude, my feet hurt. Life's a peach. Let's close this thing up.
Hey, quick app, like we said.
Yeah, we had some good ones, though.
Yeah.
Some good creepy stories.
Y'all got a little freestyle session.
Hey.
Dude, I'm cutting that shit. No, that is dude, not going it. In there.
Why?
No, that's whack, bro. Yeah. We got to be in the...
What,
in
we're the trying? Zone. We're actually trying now?
Always trying.
Always trying. Always striving to prosper.
I hope y'all are doing well out there. Hope your life is going well. Thanks for being here on this journey with us.
We hope you're happy. And we hope that someone loves you.
Aww.
And that's so, even if it's you.
Even if it's us, bro. Oh, we love all of you guys. That's a good one.
Even if it's you.
Dude, real quick, I'm going to preach for 1 second.
Preach.
Someone once said, you need to treat yourself like your best friend.
Can I get an amen?
So if you get someone who like you absolutely love and they came to you and told you like, yo, I messed up, you would be like, ah, it's okay, man. You're doing your best. You know what? You need to be that best friend to yourself, bro. So when you mess up, don't be like, you freaking idiot. You know, you need to treat yourself like your best friend.
Yeah. Would you talk to other people the way you talk to yourself?
Hell no.
Probably not, dude.
No.
So. There's a famous scene in 30 Rock, and it's Liz Lemon. Have you guys ever watched the show?
Yeah.
And she's staring into a mirror and she's trying to get ready and she's super frantic and she has a paper towel and she's wiping her sweaty pits and she's like, stop sweating, you stupid bitch. And straight up, when I saw that, I was like, that's my inner voice. Like, that's how I talk to myself. It's so funny, bro.
So to all of you out there, stop sweating.
You stupid bitches.
Bye.
Bye, love you. Be safe.
Be careful out there.
Yep.
DJ, you lazy.
Hey, thank you so much for tuning into this episode of 3AM. If you want to support us, visit our Patreon where patrons have access to exclusive content. If you're not able to support us monetarily, don't worry. This episode is on us. You can still rate and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on. It really does go a long way. You can also follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere, including Patreon, is the 3AM Pod. Finally, do you have any scary stories? If so, submit them to our website, the3ampodcast.com. We love any audio or visual aids that can help bring your stories to life. So file uploads are welcome with your written submissions. We're anxious and excited to hear from you.
My name is Bill Huffman, and I am a former Cleveland news producer, and I am now the host of the podcast, Who Killed? I began the show focusing on the unsolved murder of Amy Mihaljevic, and now each week I explore a different case with a focus on some of the victims who don't get the attention they deserve. I have a deep catalog of over 225 episodes, so there is a guarantee there will be something for you. Who Killed is an Evergreen Podcast, Killer Podcasts, and Slow Burn Media production. Subscribe today wherever you get your favorite shows.
The truth about the Haditha massacre has been covered up, but not anymore.
I know you know what happened.
They went into houses and killed women and children.
What are you thinking?
What a mess.
U.S. Marines murdered innocent civilians in cold blood.
And at the center of it all
is 25-year-old Sergeant Frank Wooderich.
And me. Murder in House 2, a new podcast from Crowd Network.